we began last week with more of the underpinnings of the whole subject of the unpleasant subject of visiting the cemetery. But when I say the unpleasant, there's also something very special about it. And when one understands exactly what are the limitations, what are the expectations, what am I allowed to say, what am I not supposed to say, what am I supposed to be thinking, what's going on here in the cemetery, what's the relationship, the connection to those who have passed away, and so on, then truthfully it could be an extremely meaningful and moving experience. And as we're going to learn, and we already spoke a little bit about last week, the tefillahs that are said in a cemetery, especially by the grave of a tzaddik, or children by the parents, those tefillahs, those prayers are unbelievably powerful. So we need to tap into this, but to do it properly. So we're going to begin now to learn the halacha that I mentioned by way of introduction last week. Now we're going to have to talk about it in greater detail this time and next time. I mentioned that there's an issur in the Torah, there's a prohibition in the Torah that's called Doresh Al HaMesim, which literally means to speak to or to seek out those who have died. To be Doresh Al HaMesim, to seek out those who have died. We need to understand what's the nature of that issur, because it sounds like there's a problem. We spoke about different reasons last week. We were learning that those the five basic explanations of why people go to the cemetery, the different levels, from the teaching of the Rebbe Rashab from Lubavitch. And now we need to begin to learn, once we have an idea of why people go, whether or not there's any problem with the issur, the prohibition of Doresh Al HaMesim, of seeking out the dead or communicating with the dead, how can we avoid that? And exactly who are we speaking to? What's happening in the cemetery? So what is this issur of Doresh Al HaMesim? What is this issur? What is the Aveira? So Chazal say on that pasuk in the Sifri, Chazal have specific, very exact and specific methods that were used in ancient times, very bizarre to us, to people like us, very strange things that were done, in order to communicate somehow with the dead. And the Sifri mentions specific means that were used in ancient times. Echad hamala bezikurov, echad hanishal begulgolas. Let me explain. In ancient times, Rashi tells us what this means, is that they used to, as strange as this sounds, they would take bones from the grave, and men would place these bones from the grave upon their laps, literally upon the bris, that part of the body, and that somehow there was this belief in those days that you'd be able to have sort of a seance to communicate with the dead in such a way. What does it mean, gulgolas? Gulgolas means a skull. So what's echad hanishal begulgolas? Rashi writes, "Dahainu sha'oches hagulgolas shel hames." They used to take the skull of the corpse, and they would ask questions. They would ask questions of the skull. Again, these are strange to us. This is still going on in many places in the world, but in ancient times, this was a common practice. The Rambam writes lahalacha when he discusses this avera of Doresh Al HaMesim. So the Rambam writes, "Lokeach gulgolas hames umachtir lo," that they would take the skull of the corpse and they would make an offering to it. They would burn some incense. All of these explanations that we find in the Chazal and the Rambam, they all share one thing in common, that the body is somehow being used in this practice, that the cadaver, the corpse, is being used. The bones of the skull, either speaking to or offering some sort of incense, whatever. But it's using the body, the physical limbs, the skull of the person who has passed away. This is one approach that's found in the Sifri and the Rambam and some other sources. However, we find a brisa, a comment of the Tanoim in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and Daf Samach Hei Amud Beis, where the Gemara explains this prohibition of Derech Ol HaMesim in the following way. Zeh HaMariv Atzmo, it is a person who starves himself, meaning who's fasting, V'holech V'lon B'Beis HaKvaris, and he goes and lies down in the cemetery, in order to bring upon himself a ruach tumah, a spirit, somehow a spirit of impurity, tapping into those kochos that are somehow there in the cemetery. This is what the Braisa, what Chazal say in the Gemara Sanhedrin. Rashi says, what's this ruach tumah? Again, these are ancient practices that are very strange to us. Rashi says, ruach tumah, Shade shall be sakvaris. This is some demonic force that's available, that's there in the cemetery. And why is he trying to conjure this demonic force by doing these things? Rashi explains, Shu ohavo umisayo bikshofav, that this ruach tumah, this impure energy, it was believed, would help the individual in his sorcery and his witchcraft, in his ability to accomplish things with his powers of sorcery. Okay, these are things that were in ancient times, but there's something that's changed over here. Now, the Rambam brings this also in the laws of Avodah Zarah. In the 11th chapter, the Rambam makes this something which was more of a common practice amongst modern people. There are certain things that a person would do in the cemetery in order that the person who's buried in that place should appear in a dream to the person who's doing these things, who's throwing himself on the grave, that the dead person should somehow appear in a dream, the Rambam says, V'yodiyo masha sha'al olav, and he will inform him regarding something that he was asking. So that's a little bit more contemporary. In other words, according to the Rambam's understanding of this Gemara is that there are people who are trying to communicate with the dead, and there were certain practices that would take place and preparations, and they would go to the cemetery and sleep in the cemetery. That was preferable, with the hope that by doing these things, and by fasting and preparing oneself spiritually and emotionally, that somehow in a dream the person who's buried there will communicate with the living and will tell the living, will respond to a question or a problem or a dilemma that those who are living have presented to it. According to this view of the Rambam, based upon that Gemara in Sanhedrin, it is not necessary to use any limbs, organs, or any bones of the body, of the cadaver, of the corpse. This is already different from the Sifri. In the Sifri, it seems that Dorish al-Maisim means only using bones or pieces of the body. That's something that we're very, very far from, God forbid. But according to the Gemara Sanhedrin, it's not just a matter it doesn't require to violate this prohibition of being Darish al Hamesim, of speaking to the dead. It doesn't require using any parts of the body, even addressing the Ruach, even addressing the soul or the spirit of the dead is something which is forbidden. Another medieval sage, Rabbi Meir Halevi, who's famous for the Sefer Yad Ramah, The Yad Ramah writes, Ruchos HaMesim Shenilven Olav Umagidin Lo Mashashoa Lahem, that the spirits of the dead return to him and tell him what he should do. Tell him what he should do. This sounds more like a seance, which is not unusual. Even in our times, people believe in this. But more importantly, this interpretation of the Gemara is telling us that there's something that's telling us a way that's even more restrictive. It's not only a question of taking out limbs or pieces or bones, but addressing the dead seems to be the isser of being Darish al-Amesim, of speaking to the dead. So then the question is, what about davening or speaking to them in the cemetery? So let's continue. Another one of the great Rishonim, Rabbi Eliezer Mimetz, the author of the Sefer Yerayim. He is discussing the Isser, the prohibition of Darish al-Amesim, and he says, he disagrees, he holds that Darish al-Amesim is Davke Halos Haguf, Davke by making use of the body. He disagrees with this view of the Rambam, and is Davke by making use of the body, and that there is no Isser, the Yerayim holds, there is no Avera, by speaking to the Ruach, by addressing the soul of the dead. You are, according to the Yerayim, allowed to address the soul. Why? So he writes very simply, Ki haruach einenu nikra meis. What does that mean? The soul of a Jew is not dead. The soul of a Jew is eternal, is living. The Torah tells us that you're not allowed to be Darish al Hamesim. You can't try to communicate with the dead. That means using somehow the body of the dead, or the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which is talking about ruach of tumah, of impurity, and we'll see later on, it could mean even in a non-Jewish cemetery, not in a Jewish cemetery. Nevertheless, according to the Yerayim, there is no prohibition at all speaking to a spirit of a dead person. He brings a number of rayas, a number of proofs from the Gemara that we're going to come back to. I don't know if we're going to get to them right now, but at least one or two basic proofs that are brought by the Yerayim. The Gemara tells us in Brachas, in Daf Yud Ches, that the great Amora from the first generation of Amoraim, Shmuel, were told that there was some money that belonged to orphans that his father had collected, money for the orphans that his father had collected, and the father passed away, and Shmuel did not know where the money was. And Shmuel felt terrible, obviously. He wanted to help the Yisomim, to help these orphans out. So the Gemara tells us that he went to the grave and he asked his father, where is the money of the Yisomim? And that his father responded to him in some sort of a dream. But his father answered him, and he was able to give the money to the children. Similarly, there's a Gemara in Ma'id Katan, Daf Chav Ches, where the brother of Rava, asked Rava to come to him after he would die. In other words, Rava was still alive, but he was near death, and his brother asked him to please pay him a visit from the world of truth, to tell him whether or not the Malach HaMavis, the angel of death, had caused him any aggravation. He wanted to know what goes on with the Malach HaMavis, what happened with him and the angel of death. So he told his brother while he was alive, after you die, I'd like to hear from you. And in fact, the Gemara tells us that Rava did appear to him, and the Gemara discusses there what he told him and so on. So according to the Sefer Yerayim, all of this is perfectly okay, because according to the Yerayim, as long as you're not speaking to you're not holding in your hands bones or limbs of the corpse, you are allowed to speak to the Ruach. You're allowed to go to the cemetery and to address the Ruach, or wherever you are, to speak to the soul, the neshama, of the one who has passed away. This is the view of the Yerayim. The question is, what's the halach in Shulchan Aruch? What's the halach in Shulchan Aruch? What is the din? Is this prohibition only when it comes to speaking to the organs of the limbs, or is it also forbidden to speak to the neshama, to the soul of a person who's passed away? So the Shulchan Aruch, in Yerodei Kuf Ayin Tes, if you'd give defines this Isser of Darish Alameisim in the following way. Darish Alameisim Zehamayr of Atzim of Alon Bebeis HaKvaris, he brings the Brice of the Gemara from Sanhedrin. The Darish Alameisim is when someone starves himself, he's fasting, and he lies down in the cemetery, Kedesh Tishal of Ruach Tumah, in order to bring upon himself a spirit of impurity, which we learn has to do with sorcery or witchcraft. That's one thing. So he seems to just quote quite literally the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Then the Shulchan Aruch goes on and says, "Lahashbi es hachola." Obviously, he's using the Gemara, the story of Rava that I just mentioned, that if a person is sick, the Shulchan Aruch says, you are allowed to cause that sick person to take an oath, lo shavei lov, la'achar misa, to return and communicate to you after he has died, la'hagilo se'she yishalo so, to answer questions. That, the Shulchan Aruch says, is permitted as mutter. The Ramah adds, that's the Mechaber, that's the Shulchan Aruch. Then, in his notes to the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah adds, V'yesh matirin afilu la'achar moso, there are those who are lenient and permit even after the person has died. Im eino mashbia gufo shel meis. If you're not, what? If you're not addressing the body, the limbs, or the skeleton of the person, rak rucho, but only his spirit. So clearly, the Ramah is advocating the view of Rabbi Eliezer Mimetz of the Yireim, who holds that you are allowed to address the neshama of the person who has passed away. But the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch himself, says that you are allowed to cause the living person, the sick person who's near death, to swear he'll come to you. That's already not such a chiddush. That's not so extraordinary, because there the person self is still alive when you're causing him to take that oath. The Ramah, however, is extending this and explaining that he brings the view of the Seif Yireim, that even after a person has died, it doesn't have to be while he's alive. You're allowed to actually directly address the soul of someone who has passed away, not when he's alive to come to me, but to speak to the neshama of the one who has died. That's based upon the heter, the lenient ruling of the Seif Yireim, which seems to be in opposition to the view of the Rambam, who sounds like he's opposed to any communication with the dead. Based upon this, what we're learning so far, since the Shulchan Aruch accepts the view of the Seif Yireim, or at least the Ramah accepts the view, the Mechaber perhaps not. There might be a difference here between Ashkenazim and Svardim. Svardim, of course, always generally will follow the ruling of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, and Ashkenazim will follow the ruling of the Ramah. At least according to the Ramah, it would seem, based upon the Yireim, that there is no problem at all for a person to go to the cemetery and to even speak directly to say father, mother, to speak to the tzaddik, Rabbi, and to talk to the neshama. That's what it would seem like. And that's not in the category of Darish Alameisim. Although, again, the Rambam might not agree, the Shulchan Aruch might not agree, but the Ramah clearly rules in accordance to the Yireim, and it would be permitted. Now, we're not finished. We have to investigate this a little bit more, because it's not so simple. It doesn't mean that everything is okay, and it doesn't mean that this is necessarily the accepted view. The post can bring the view of Rabbeinu Chaim Paltiel. Rabbeinu Chaim Paltiel was a student of the Maharami Rutenberg, one of the earliest of the Ashkenazic authorities. And all the posts can bring the view of Rabbeinu Chaim Paltiel, who is also referred to as Maharach. Let me read to you this sentence from Rabbeinu Chaim Paltiel. He is one of those who was campaigning against this thing of going to the cemetery and davening in the cemetery. And he wrote the following. Hevi yadua, it is known. Kimod ani nifla, or you should know. Kimod ani nifla al b'nei odom hanodrim leilach al-beis ha-kvaris. I am shocked. I am in wonder with these people who take oaths, who commit themselves to going to visit the cemetery. Now listen to the words. Listen very carefully. Kiktsas hayadom ledorish lamesim. How do we translate that? Kiktsas hayadom ledorish lamesim. Kiktsat hayadom ledorish lamesim means it resembles somewhat the issur, the aveira of dorish lamesim. Now it's very important. He doesn't say it's the aveira of dorish lamesim. He doesn't say it's the actual aveira, but he says kiktsas hayadom. It's a little bit. It resembles somewhat the prohibition of being Dorish al HaMeisim. The Lo Matzinu Rak Gabi Kolev. The only place we find, this is astounding that he says this, because there are many Gemaras that he just seems to be overlooking. He says, the only place that we find someone davening by the grave, he says, is by Kolev, which I mentioned last week, when Kolev went to daven in Chevron, Shten Shtateach Al Kirvei Ovis, that he went to daven by the Maris Pela, so he shouldn't be tempted to go along with the spies. So he says, "Haynu shemispalim l'Hashem." So Reb Chaim Paltiel says he didn't daven. He didn't daven to the Ovis. He went to a holy place where the Ovis are buried to daven to Hashem. Umokam kodesh gorim shetehei tvilos nishmas. We learned this last week. That because of the holiness of the place, there's a greater likelihood that the tefillah is going to be heard. In other words, he's rejecting the idea of speaking to the dead. And Rabbeinu Chaim Paltiel says, which worries him, that could be Darshal Lameisim. And instead he says what Kolev did. Kolev didn't talk to the dead. Kolev went to a holy place where the tzaddikim are buried, and there he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says that there's a strong likelihood that will be accepted. Which means that there are places that are designated as holy, and there's more of a likelihood that the tefillos will be accepted there. Just like Avraham Avinu went to the place of the Har Moriah, and he knew that that's a place that since creation is holy, and it's a good place to daven. So the cemetery is a good place to daven. Kolev went to Maris HaMachpel. It's a very holy place, because the tzaddikim are buried there. But not, the Rabbeinu Chaim Paltiel says, not that he spoke to the dead. He went there to daven to Hashem. It's a good place to daven. Melamed says, Shamokim Gorim, that the place makes a difference. Inami, then he writes to Rabbeinu Chaim Paltiel, perhaps you could say, Odom Shabiza Sameis. We find other instances in Chazal where there was a situation where there was a person who had disgraced the one who had died. Either when he was alive and he never had a chance to apologize, to ask for forgiveness, or he had said something disgusting about the person after he had died. Then we find Ulachvodim Shateach al Kivro. Then we find in Chazal that in order to show an act of apologizing and asking for mechila, we do find that people would go to the graves of the person they insulted, either when the person was alive or had died, and would throw himself upon the grave. Zematzinu. But again, that we have seen. But Rabbeinu Chaim Paltiel does not learn that meant to beg for forgiveness. It was a way of showing one's intent to seek forgiveness. And when Hashem sees how brokenhearted you are, and you demonstrate this by going to the place of the person who's passed away, and going to the trouble of being in that place, then Hashem will look upon you and will know that you're sincere and that you truly want to apologize, and there's nothing you can do anymore. The person's not alive. This is what you're doing, and then Hashem will hopefully forgive you. That is the view of Rabbeinu Chaim Paltiel. However, he continues, Ach noshim ubnei adam she'enim yodim. However, women and men who are not educated, Zelo yadati halichosam lama. I don't know why they're going to the cemetery. What's the purpose? Vanirogel, in other words, I'm worried why they're going. That's what he's saying. It worries me that they think they can go and talk to the dead. Therefore, he says, "Vani rogil l'chol haboy milai." When people come to talk to me about these things, liftoach lahem becharata v'yatir lahem aneder v'yitain l'stak. What I try to do, let's say somebody made a promise, I'm going to go to my father's grave every year. I'm going to go to my mother's grave. I'm going to go to the tzaddik, my Rebbe's grave. So I try to find for them a way to be released from that vow. As you know, there's a way to do that, to be released from that vow. And instead, he says, "V'yitain l'tzadkim ashahayim mitzi al haderach." I tell the people, if you want to do a real favor for the one who has passed away, give the amount of money it would have taken you to travel to the grave, and give that tzadkim to the poor. Whatever it cost you along the way, to transportation, for the food, for lodging, whatever it would have cost you, take that same money, instead of going to the cemetery and schlepping to some cemetery somewhere, take that money and give it to the poor. And he says, and that way you can be saved from bad things. That's the thing to do. So this is the view of Rabbeinu Chaim Paltiel. It's brought down in the Poskim, it's brought down in the Maharshal, and the Bach, and other Poskim. However, as we were reading in the beginning, you have to be careful to pay attention to the words, that he does not say it's an actual sin. He does not say it's an Isser Mamish, that it's a Daraisa, that you have violated the Torah law of being Darish Olamaisen. He says it's Ktsas Hayadoma, it resembles the Isser. We don't know exactly what that means, but he was against it. That we know. He was against it, and he felt that unless people know what they're doing, they could very well, very likely, fall into the actual aveira of being Darish al HaMeisim. This is the view of Rabbeinu Chaim Paltiel. There's also a view of one of the other early authorities, Maharam Mintz, who wrote in a similar way. Kiblav hachi yesh gedolim shekaru teger al dvar zeh v'karu Darish al HaMeisim. He says there are many sages, there are many gedolim, who are upset about the visits that the common Jews are making to the cemetery, and they have described this as being Darish al HaMeisim, seeking the dead. The Rov Amei Haaretz V'Noshim Avide Melitzim Beinim Uvein Konam Baruch Hu. Because most of the ignorant people and the women think that they can speak to the dead as an intermediary between them and God. In other words, that they don't speak to Hashem, but they speak to the dead, and the dead are supposed to communicate their requests and their prayers to Hashem. And the Maharam Mintz holds that this could very well be, if one does actually speak to the dead or pray to the dead, that it could be that you're entering into the realm of a complete violation of the Isra of Darish al HaMeisim. This is what we find in the earlier authorities, and it's quoted in the later authorities. The sharpest presentation of this stricter view among the later authorities is found in the Chayei Adam. The Chayei Adam by Rabban Danziger, the Chayei Adam was one of the foremost disciples of the Vilna Gaon. And it's safe to assume that he was influenced in this matter by his illustrious Rebbe, by the Vilna Gaon, who it seems by all reports also did not favor trips to the cemetery. So, even though now many people like to go to his grave, to the Vilna Gaon, but it seems that he was not in favor of that. Certainly not by the Hamon Am, by simple people and by women and children. Remember, when they used the word women did not have yeshivas in those days. And they were, and many still are, extremely superstitious, and have also a very strong emotional attachment to a person who's passed away. And therefore we find that the Chayei Adam was strict in his ruling, and he wrote in his Sefer, Chochmas Adam, Shaholchem al Kivrei Meisim, that there are people who go to graves, Uki'ilu Medabrim Imam Meisim, and they think, they're speaking to the dead. V'omrim Lahem Tzaros Seim, they like to pour out their hearts about their tzaros. Now, it's interesting that the Chayei Adam is so upset about this, and yet the truth of the matter is that we saw that it has a source in the Ramah and the Sefer Yireim who permits speaking to the dead. So it sounds like this. So we have to understand more what's bothering the Chayei Adam. The Chayei Adam knew the Ramah and he knew the Sefer Yerayim. So why is Chayadin still upset? Apparently, he understood that the Rama was talking about something else. And we have to see what that is, and that the simple people would make a mistake and begin to daven to the dead, as opposed to appealing to the dead in a different way, which we're going to learn more about in a few minutes. This view of the Chayi Adam is accepted generally as the view of the Vilna Gaon and his disciples and the students of his students. My Rebbe, Olav Sholem Rav Soloveitchik, it's brought in Nefesh HaRav regarding Rav Soloveitchik, where he writes, Rav Shachter there cites the custom of the Soloveitchiks and says that Minhag Mishpachas Rabbeinu, that the custom of Rav Soloveitchik's family, which means of Brisk, and Brisk means Velozhin, and Velozhin means the Vilna Gaon, that the custom, he says, of these tzaddikim from the house of from Brisk and Velozhin, Hayashalola Lechis the Beis HaKvaros, was not to go to pay visits to the cemetery. Levak al Kivri Avis, to go to the graves of the Avis. Shaloi Hei Nirachas Vashom Kedar Shalomesim, so that it shouldn't appear as if we're speaking to the dead. Now that doesn't mean, of course, that Rav Soloveitchik didn't. He was a Rav in Boston. He went to funerals and they said Kaddish. Exactly what's found. That's all kept, you know, to say Kaddish, but not to go stamazai, to go and to visit and to talk to a parent and to talk to a tzaddik. That it seems that they have a Kabbalah, they have a tradition from the Vilna Gaon, not to do such a thing. Rav Moshe Feinstein, who is very much connected to that world as well, it seems. That Rav Moshe himself was also not fond of this, of going to the cemetery. This was apparently the common practice in that part of the world. Another part of the world where it seems that it was not common practice to go was by the German Jews. Rabbi Israel Hildesheimer and others of the Gedolim of Germany were very much opposed to davening by graves. And it was not the practice among German Jews generally to go to grave sites. the Bach, one of the most important poskim, in his commentary on the Torah, after he quotes the view of Rabbeinu Chaim Paltiel that we've just been learning, so the Bach writes, "Miu kvar hechziku b'minhag zeh." The Bach sounds like he's sort of saying this with regret. He says, "What are you going to do?" Already, Jews already all do this. In other words, Jews are doing this. They go to daven in cemeteries. No one's protesting. In other words, nobody seems to be carrying the banner of Rabbi Chaim Paltiel. It seems that people are of the custom of going. And they have what to rely upon, the view of the Zohar, which I'm going to quote in a minute. That they're relying upon the view of the Zohar Kaddish. The Davkilish Tatech al Kirveyavis, but the Bach restricts this. Listen carefully. And he says, when is this allowed? To go to the graves of ancestors or tzaddikim, Ulispala Lefonov Yisbarach, and in that place, to daven to Hashem, al called Tsarish Lotava, that there shouldn't be any Tsaras. In the merit of my ancestors, or the tzaddikim who are buried in this place, Hashem, help me with this, help me with that, help me with this, in the merit of my ancestors. So again, even though the Bach is softening the view of Rabbeinu Chaim Paltiel, ultimately the Bach is not comfortable with speaking to the dead. He says that when you go to the cemetery, you daven to Hashem, and you ask Hashem in the schus of those who are buried here. Rabbi Chaim Paltiel didn't want anybody going to the cemetery. The Vilna Gaon didn't want going to the cemetery either, because he was afraid that they would cross over that boundary and begin to address the dead. So the Bach says, what do you do? People are going already. At least let's do this. Let's strengthen the awareness of what's correct, and what's correct is that they're davening to Hashem in the merit of those who are buried in the place, not that they're davening or asking the dead to help them, or asking the dead for favors. They have already been published, the Bach says, booklets that have tefillahs to be said in the cemetery. There's a famous book called Manaloshen. There are other things that have been published that go back a long time. And he says, and I don't want any Rav to protest this custom of the Jews, and that therefore they should be allowed to continue, the Bach says, with this practice as long as they use these booklets, which are, again, not speaking directly to the dead, but speaking to Hashem in the merit of the dead. So the Bach says, it's not, even though there is a strict view of Rabbi Chaim Paltiel, that the rabbi should not protest this and should allow the Jews to continue with this custom, since it is rooted in halacha, but more than that, it's rooted in the Zohar. Now, what does it actually say in the Zohar? In the Zohar we find that Rav Yehuda had a question for Rav Chizkiya. Rav Yehuda had a question for Rav Chizkiya. And the question was, he asked Rav Chizkiya, why are we allowed to go to the cemetery? Isn't there a problem of being Dorish Olam Esa? So it's the question is found in the Zohar. Why are we allowed to go to the cemetery? Aren't you speaking to the dead? Aren't you asking the dead for something? So in the Zohar Kodesh, we find two responses to this. And this is very important. And you'll understand why it is that the Svaradim and the Hasidim in particular have picked up on this, since we know that the Svaradim and the Hasidim are devoted to the Zohar Kaddish and all the teachings of the Zohar. The first explanation that is given there in the Zohar, why is it you're allowed to go to the cemetery? The first explanation is, interesting, that this Isser, this Aveir of Dorish Olam Esim, is only Berishay Olam. It's only going to a non-Jewish cemetery. But to go and to speak, to try to bring from the bones of sorcerers and Rishoyim and the wicked among the nations. Aval Yisrael, the Zohar says, the Jewish people are tzaddikei emes. What does that mean? The Jewish people are truly tzaddikim. That means, what's the Zohar saying? There's a teaching of Chazal that says that Tzaddikim b'misasim, even after the Tzaddik dies, he is considered to be alive. Even after the Tzaddik dies, kruyim chayim, he's still alive. So the Zohar says that this Aveira of being Darish Olam Esim means going to a non-Jew cemetery where they're dead. But going to a Jew's cemetery, Jews even after they die, Amar Kulam Tzaddikim, Jews are still somehow in some level of being alive. We'll talk about what that means. Not tonight, but we'll talk what that means. But there is some life after death. Therefore, as we learned earlier from the Urayim, that's not called speaking to the dead. Jews are never really entirely dead. I mean, he's not breathing. There are no bodily functions. But Elept, he's still alive. This is what we saw in the Urayim. And he brings the pasuk. The Zohar brings the pasuk. V'shabeach anias ha-mesim shivakvar mesim. Shlomo HaMelech said in Koheles, I praise the dead who have already died. That's what Shlomo HaMelech said. What does it mean that Shlomo HaMelech is praising the dead who have already died? So the Zohar says a very beautiful thing. Shekvar mesu b'pam acheres. Shlomo HaMelech was praising those tzaddikim who have died now, but they really had died before. What does that mean, they had died before? So the Zohar says that the meaning of that is that the explanation there is that they had died in the service of Hashem. They had been so devoted to Hashem that they served Him with such complete and total self-sacrifice that now when they physically died, really it's their second death. They died before. Let's go back. So what does the pasuk mean according to the Zohar? Shlomo Melech is saying, "B'shabeach ani asameisim shekvar meisu." Shlomo Melech says, "I am filled with praise for the dead who have already died." That means, I admire the tzaddikim who have died physically, because they were killing themselves while they were alive to serve Hashem. They were killing themselves while they were alive to serve Hashem. But the Zohar Ezin says, Shekrar Mesu Apam Acheres V'lo Ata. Therefore, their present death is not really death at all. You follow? I praise the dead who have already died, meaning those who died earlier in their lifetimes. They died over Torah. That's when they died. Vloata. Now, when you're looking at them being loaded, the person being loaded into the grave, he's not dead now. He's alive. He's a lebedik. He's alive. Hamesim shekvar mesu. Those are the tzaddikim that they have already died in their life, but now they're not dead. Now they're living. This is what the Zohar says. That's the first explanation. Therefore, according to this, one is permitted to go and to address those who have died, because they're not really dead. Physically they're dead, but spiritually they're not. Beis, the second approach of the Zohar Kaddish. The Zohar says that this is referring to people in ancient times, in those days, who were doing this for the purpose of witchcraft and sorcery. But Jews do not go to the cemetery in order to get involved in witchcraft or dark black magic. But instead, Jews go there, as we learned last week, because when they come to the cemetery, they remember that life is not going to go on forever, and their hearts are broken, and they do tshuva there, and they therefore are able to daven in a wholehearted way, as we learned last week. And when the neshamas of those who have died, when the souls of those who have died see their children and students crying and brokenhearted, and truthfully desiring to change and to do tshuva, so then those neshamas speak to Hashem, the Zohar says, and they try to ask that Hashem should have pity upon them, upon the living, and upon the Jewish people in general. So the Zohar says that this is not a problem, but here in this answer, the Zohar does not tell us that we're speaking to the dead. The Zohar says that, like we learned last week, that when a person goes there, he does tshuva. The heart is broken, and you remember that person, and you remember how you're mortal, and you'll be motivated to return to Hashem. And when the dead see that one of their children or their students is trying to change and feels brokenhearted about his averus, then the dead will appeal to Hashem on behalf of the living. This is the second answer that the Zohar gives. Now, one of the greatest authorities of Ashkenaz was the Maharil. Not the Maharal, that's somebody else, the Maharil. The Maharil was discussing the laws of fasting, and we learned last week that it was common practice, and it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch as well, that when there was no rain, or when there was, God forbid, some other calamity, that they would go to the cemetery. The Jews would go to the cemetery. So the Maharil writes the following: Masha regilin aleches the basic gross betanis. This custom of going to the cemetery on a fast day, yesh kamat ta'amim, there are a number of reasons. But then he says the following: somebody who goes to the graves of the tzaddikim to daven, you should not place your hope and trust in the ones who are buried there. You should only ask Hashem that He should be merciful upon you, in the merit of the tzaddikim who dwell in the dust. So the Maharil seems to be supporting the stricter view, that the stricter view, although allowing visits to the cemetery, being restrictive and not speaking, not asking the dead for help, but again, davening to Hashem in the merit of those who are buried in the cemetery. So we still have a problem. There is still an issue. It's not clear. Now, what this whole subject raises is a much broader topic, which I'm going to just discuss briefly now. It's the whole issue of speaking to Hashem through an intermediary, even if we're not talking about the dead. For instance, one of the greatest questions, and one that, and there's an argument, there's debate in this matter, till this day, is are we allowed to speak to malachim, to angels? Or is a Jew allowed to speak to a malach? Are you allowed to daven to a malach? It's a this discussion of Darish al-Maisim goes beyond just speaking to the dead. It's a question of, are you allowed to seek the help of any intermediary? This is a very basic question of emunah, of our faith. Darish al-Maisim, if you say it's just talking to organs or bones, no, it's an alta maisa, it doesn't bother us anymore, it has nothing to do with us now. If you say that there's a problem speaking to the souls of those who have died, so then it could be touching upon, a very basic fundamental principle of Yiddishkeit, which is that Hashem is the only one to whom we can daven. How are we allowed to daven to an angel? Are you allowed to daven to an angel? Are you allowed to daven to someone who has died? So, this question of davening to malachim, to angels, has been asked and has been discussed in many places. I don't know if any of you remember the part of Slichus, if you get a chance to say Slichus, at the end of Slichus, every Slichus, according to the Nusach of Ashkenaz, at the end of Slichus, there's a very fascinating tefillah. There's a very fascinating prayer. Machnisei Rachamim. The angels are called those who are able to bring forward my petition, who are able to come into Hashem, who are able to bring compassion, a compassionate and forceful defense to Hashem. So we dive into the angels. And we say, Machnisei Rachamim, Hachnisei Rachamim, Lufnei Bala Rachamim. Please, angels, I'm calling out to you, I beg you. Please go to Hashem and beg him for mercy. Machnisei Dima, those who are able to bring tears. Hachnisu Dimo Sein, Lufnei Melech Misratze, but the most, bring our tears before the king who is appeased by Jewish tears. Hishtadlu Vaharbut Chinah. We ask you, daven and beg Hashem, lifnei melech kel ram v'nisa, before the great and exalted God. Now this is found in our slichas, Ashkenazi slichas. There are those who erased it from the slichas, and there are those who modified it and changed it. Most of us say that straight. What I just said, those are the words that we say slichas among Ashkenazim. Where does this tefillah come from? How old is it? The earliest appearance of this tefillah is in the time of the Gaonim. So we're talking about the period of the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th centuries. That period of time, we find that the origin of this tefillah is from that period of the Gaonim, of the Common Era. The truth of the matter is, however, even though that tefillah, that prayer itself, is from the time of the Gaonim, there are many places in Chazal where tzaddikim spoke to angels. Well, not just spoke to, I mean, that Tanakh is filled with that. But more than spoke to, but appealed to an angel to help out. There are many places in Chazal where we find Omra Midas Hadin Lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu, that in the Medrash in Shmos, Hamalach Hamamuna Al HaTfilas, that there's an angel who has the responsibility of taking care of bringing before Hashem all of our davening. Noitel Kol HaTfilas Yispalu B'chol HaKnesiyas Kulon. Can you imagine that there's a special Malach? This angel is responsible for taking all of the davening of the Jewish people and all of their shuls. And what? And takes these prayers and makes them into crowns, whatever that means. And the Malach comes with his crown. It's a beautiful picture. The Malach comes with his crown of all Jewish prayers from every shul in the world and places his crown upon the head of Hashem. Again, it's not something physical, whatever that means. So we find in the Gemara that angels take our tefillahs to Hashem. Angels come with our complaints to Hashem. On the other hand, in the Yerushalmi, in the Talmud Yerushalmi, Brachas, in the ninth parak of Brachas in the Talmud Yerushalmi, we find opposition to this way of thinking. And this is one of the reasons why there are those who omitted from the Slichas this part of speaking to the angels. The Yerushalmi says the following, Omer Rav Yudin. Rav Yudin taught, Boser v'dam yeshlo patra, if a human being, a physical, a person of flesh and blood, if he has somebody who is a supporter of his, a defender of his, if he has protectia, im boslo a sara, if he, God forbid, this person has some tzaras, has trouble, einan nichnas etzlo pisoim elabov oimed al pisco shel patrono. In other words, if there's some supporter, some person who he has connections to, he has protectia with, in this world, the man who's in trouble would not go directly to that, to the big shot, to the top. What would he do? He would el above oimed al pisco shel patrono. He would first go and knock on the door and come to the house or the mansion, the palace of this person who is someone who helps him out sometimes. The kari la'avdo, and he would first speak to the servant, ola ben beso, or some member of the household, v'oimer, and then that servant or that person from the house would go and say to the owner, to the rich guy, whoever it is, this powerful person, ish ploini oimer al pesach hatzerecha, that this man, Moshe Kapoyer, he's here, and he has a problem, and he's asking me to present this problem to you. Shema machniso v'shema manicha. And in this world, sometimes the rich person will allow him to come in. Sometimes he said, no, you won't get past the Gabbai. Won't get past the Shabbos. But the Yerushalmi says, however, aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu eino kein. Hashem is not like that. In Basel Adam Tsara, if God forbid a Jew has tsaras, lo yitzavach lo limichoyer v'lo lagavil. You don't go crying to the angel Michoel, and you don't go crying to the angel Gavriel. Eloli yitzavach, Hashem says, speak to me directly. You don't have to go to any shamas. You don't have to go to, Hashem says, I don't have any gaboim, shamoshim. You don't have to speak to any secretaries. You don't have to go through any, you know, secondary things. If you come to me directly, I'll respond to you. You might not always like the response, but we could talk personally. Whoever calls out to Hashem in Hashem's name will be saved, will be spared. You don't have to go through secretaries and intermediaries. I want you to come directly to me. You know, it's an interesting thing happens nowadays. You know, it's happened to me a few times. I'll get a phone call, and I listen. I don't really pick up the phone anymore. I just listen to messages. Some of you know, I'm sorry, but that's what, I'm just not sitting by the phone now. But when I was teaching yeshiva, so I'd be in the office, I would get a phone call. This happened to me a number of times. Even now, it'll happen to me once in a while on the cell phone. I'll get a call, and there'll be a secretary, a woman says, oh, so-and-so would like to speak to you. Please hold. First of all, it's a chutzpah nerah to do that to a person. In other words, someone wants to speak to you. Makes no difference who you are. Someone wants to speak to you. I pick up the phone, and I hear someone saying, oh, please hold, Mr. So-and-so would like to speak to you. And I don't even say, but, and you're standing there holding the phone. Yeah, I don't know if you ever got such a call. It's a chutzpah. I mean, it's such a rude thing. So this once happened to me. I was standing in yeshiva, and because it was a funny thing. I said, whoa, I don't know what this was. It was the first time I ever had such a thing. I said to our secretary in the yeshiva, I said, she said, what happened? I said, oh, no, some lady called and said that someone wants to speak to me, and I'm holding for somebody, and I don't even know who it is. Like, I don't even know what it's about. So she said, give me the phone. So she took the phone. And when that rabbi got on, it was a rabbi, got on, so that she answered. She said, okay, hold a minute. I'll see if Rabbi Weinberg is available. And then like, you know, I said, all right, let me just, she said, no. She held the phone like, okay. That was Ms. Trailer. She held the phone a little bit, but this is with human beings, an Irishkeit, and hold, and this, and that, and with machines, and with secretaries, and gaboyim, and shamoshim. Hashem says, I don't go with any of this. There's no call waiting by the Baruch Shalom either. The Baruch Shem is waiting for us to call. There's no call waiting. And you speak directly. The Hashem is Baruch says, speak directly to me. That's the Yerushalmi. So, this Yerushalmi is clearly has an unfavorable view of Jews speaking to intermediaries, of Jews asking Malachim, angels, to do them a toiva, to do them a favor. I'll smach this, because of this Yerushalmi, it seems, there are those who were sharply opposed to that piece of slichus, and either removed that version of slichus, or as we'll see in a minute, if we get to it yet, modified that slichus. Now, there is another great authority who you could guess would be opposed to this thing of speaking to the Malachim. Any guesses? The Rambam. The Rambam is forever the rationalist, as you know. The Rambam did not go for any of these kind of things. And the Rambam, in a number of places, was outspoken in favor of this view of the Yerushalmi. And his commentary on the Mishnah, the 11th parak of Sanhedrin, and in his Sefer of Halacha, in the Yad HaChazakah, the Rambam went to war with this whole business of speaking to intermediaries. He went to war. He says, Hu Yisbarach, Hu HaRoy La'avdo, Hashem alone. We serve Hashem alone and we address Him alone. Mishaloyaseg kazel lemishu tachta b'mitzias min hamalachim. Therefore, you're not allowed to speak to or to appeal to somebody who is working for Hashem, so to speak, one of the angels. Ein mishpat v'lo b'chira ela lo levado. The angels have no free choice and they can't do any of these things. Only Hashem. V'chein, he says, ein roi la'avdam. It is forbidden to use the angels as a means of getting closer to Hashem, as a means of reaching Hashem. And he wrote this lahalacha as well. He says, the Torah is warning us, we say this in Shema every day. Let your hearts not be misled. In other words, you don't think that you're worshiping an idol, the Ram says. You think you're an Orthodox God-fearing Jew, and you're talking to angels, the intermediaries. The Rambam says, Klemer, Shleititu Bihiru Alev Lavud Elu Liosirsu Beinechem Uven Habore. Let your heart not mislead you to use anybody to act as a messenger between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam learns that in the Pasuk, Pen Yiftel Vavchem, that your heart should not be misled. Because you don't think that you keep mitzvahs. But here, the Rambam says, there is a strong likelihood that you're going to begin to appeal to Malach. The great Ramban, who is the generation immediately following the Ramban wrote in his drasha, Teres Hashem Tamima, the Ramban wrote that speaking to an angel instead of addressing Hashem directly is me'ain avodah zara. It is entering into the category, into the world of idolatry. And that's the same thing, by the way, we'll talk about later on, is the same thing when it comes to davening to the tzaddik. And we have to see what that means. Either a living tzaddik or a tzaddik has passed away. There's a difference between davening at the gravesite, which we're going to learn, and davening to the tzaddik. Many Jews have crossed over that border. And they talk to the tzaddik, they even talk to the tzaddik in the air around them and so on. These are all bizarre, unusual practices. The Ramban writes, although we will see that there is reason to be able to, in the cemetery, to speak directly to a tzaddik. We didn't get to the end yet, but it could be taken too far. The Ramban writes, "V'havadazar ashlishis mehem ha'ovdim l'malochim." He says a form of idolatry is those who serve the angels. Or those who think that angels can do stuff for them. Or think that the angels could act as intermediaries between them and God. It seems that to daven to the angels in such a way, even without making any offerings or sacrifices to angels, but just speaking to them in such a way, the Ramban says it seems that this is forbidden. Just to conclude, the Maharal from Prague in the 12th chapter of the Nesiv Avoda is also against this. Even though the Maral was a great Mekubal Kabbalist, the Maral was against this practice, and it was against the tefillah of Machnise Rachman that we have in Slichas. So what did he do? He made a correction of the text, which he believed was the original text that had been tampered with over the years. And he said that the true reading of Machnise Rachamim is that instead of saying, Hachnisu, bring in our prayer to Hashem, he wrote, he changed it to the words, Machnise Rachamim, Yachnisu Rachamenu. In other words, he says, instead of begging the angel and praying to the angel to take our prayers to Hashem, he says, he described it as a reality, that the Malachim are carrying our prayers to Hashem, that they are carrying our prayers up to Hashem, which the Gemara says in a thousand places. But not that you're asking an angel for a toiva, not that you're appealing to an angel. You're diving to Hashem, but the Malachim rush the tefillahs to Hashem. That's the amendment that he made, or the correction that he made in the Slichas. Nevertheless, that's not the general custom, is to say what we have in the Slichas. And he writes to the Maharal, Ein zeh shonu mevakshim and hamesum shispalu aleinu. Same thing when it comes, the Maharal says to the dead, where the Maharal talks about that Gemara Tainis that we discussed last week, that on a fast day, when there was no rain, they would go to the cemetery, kadei shivakshu aleinu rachamim. The second view in the Gemara that we did last week was that the dead should seek pity, that they should seek mercy for us. The Maharal says, that doesn't mean that we go and daven to the dead that they should help us. When the dead see that we're there, when we're connecting to them, when we love them, when we remember them, that they're going to go to Hashem and appeal to Hashem. Not that we daven to those who have died. So this is the stricter view, or there's a more moderate strict view that allows visits of the cemetery, but they have to be taken with great care, and the wording has to be very careful. Now, Mitzvah Shema, we're going to continue with next time. You'll get the exact date and information and everything on the email and the shul schedule. But what we're going to continue with next time is that view. Which is more permissive, which permits this. We're going to study together inside part of a response from that was written by the great Munkacharov, the Minchas Elazar, between World War I and World War II. So that's the Mitzvah Shem, what we're going to continue with the Mitzvah Shem between that time and now and forever. Halavai, we shall only hear good news, and everybody should be healthy and well.